Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring her in each and every week. She is a super friend of the show, chock full of knowledge when it comes to your Cleveland Browns. She is Mary Kay Cabot from the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
I am good. Mary Kay, there is no way they're bringing four quarterbacks in to start the season. I was reading your story again.
He's a non-believer, Mary Kay.
We talked about this yesterday.
Non-believer.
I cannot believe that they would put four quarterbacks on a 53-man roster. Please say it isn't so.
He's a non-believer.
Oh, I absolutely think that they will do it. I think you can almost count on it at the very beginning of the season while they work through their roster decisions. And then I think from there, it's just a matter of time. If they decide to hang on to all four through the trade deadline on November 4th, which would give them 8 games to figure out where this whole thing is going, or if they just want to continue on and keep all four of them through the end of the season. They can certainly do it from a cost standpoint because the cap charge for all four of those quarterbacks adds up to only $7.6 million or something like that. So you can definitely do it from a financial standpoint. And then, really, there are a lot of back-end roster guys that don't end up playing anyways. So I think you can make it work.
All right. I'm looking forward to seeing Shedeur Sanders make a tackle on special teams. That's all I can say.
Wow.
I can't see.
Every day I deal with this, Mary Kay. Every day.
If I'm Bubba Ventrone, I'm going crazy. Because you're probably taking away special teams guy.
I've lost a defensive back who's not going to play.
I'm just saying it takes 53 to win. That's all. But Mary Kay, you make an excellent argument on why they would keep four quarterbacks. So I'm not belittling that. I'm belittling Jeff because I have to owe these guys dinner if all four quarterbacks are on the roster, active roster.
You in, Mary Kay?
Week one. So
you in?
Well, here's the thing. What you have to do in that situation is you have to have guys that have a lot of versatility and can do a number of different things for you. So if you're keeping an extra running back, you have to make sure that he can return kicks or something like that. Or the same thing with the wide receiver. You won't be able to really necessarily have somebody that can just do one thing for you. So, it would probably hurt maybe a returner or something like that. But this is the most important position on the football team. They have big decisions to make at quarterback over the next couple of years. And we know they have those two first-round picks next year. So they probably would have kept three on the roster anyways. And then when Shedeur came along and sort of threw a monkey wrench into the whole plan by being available in the fifth round, I think it just opened itself up to being a four-quarterback season.
Mary Kay, NFL rule with a veteran going to the practice squad, they can basically stash Flacco every week, couldn't they not? Is that the way that works? And then they can activate him?
You know, I don't know if you would. Yes, they technically probably could do that. Yes, they probably could do that.
Something to think about there, Andy.
That would be something to think about.
And that would also mean that, but he'd still have to be available to everybody else in the league, right?
I don't think that's true.
Well, he would have to be amenable. He would have to agree to sign with another team. And if he knows that this is just a roster move, then he would know, just a stashing type of move.
And just staying put.
He would stay put. So there are ways to get around this. And once again, like I said, it is the most important position on the team. And you might not know this year if Shedeur and Dylan are going to be something down the road. So those guys aren't going anywhere. They're keeping Dylan and Shedeur. I wrote that in the column that I wrote today. Those guys are going to make the football team. So you can pretty much take that to the bank. And then it's just a matter of trying to figure out what you would want to do with Joe and Kenny, and I think both of them will play this year.
Does Pickett have to look better than he's looked, Mary Kay, to give him like a real candidacy here? Or... because all the rumblings out of mandatory minicamp and the OTAs has been like, yep, there's this, and Pickett's been okay. Do you think he's been better than okay, and does he need to be better than okay to actually have a chance?
Well, yes, he needs to be better than okay, and he really hasn't looked all that great yet because this is not the setting in which he is set up to excel. This is not his game. He runs more the keeper game and the movement game, and that's not what they're doing a lot of right now. They're doing mostly sort of drop back, not a whole lot of movement, and that's not where he has a chance to use his athleticism and mobility. So he isn't going to look as good in the practices that they've had so far as he probably will be as they move forward.
Mary Kay, give me your biggest takeaway outside of the quarterbacks from minicamp.
That's a good question. My biggest takeaway probably would be just wondering about the receiving corps, which I do that a lot. I know, and
we do Jeff too.
I do that a lot.
Yes.
Just my biggest takeaway is just wondering if they aren't perhaps leaving themselves a bit thin on the receiving corps. And not knowing what is going to happen with Deontay Johnson and if he's going to be able to stick around and make this work and if Sed is going to be healthy and those kinds of things. That's the one thing I look out there and I still have questions about.
What did he look like, Deontay Johnson, at mandatory minicamp, Mary Kay? And when he spoke with the media, he sounded like he understood exactly the situation that he's in. And to me, that situation is you better be good. And you better, and I mean on the football field, and you just, and then you've got to stay on the football field because if not, you might be knocking on the UFL door next year.
Right. Well, I think his talent is evident right away. He's a great route runner. He rivals Jerry Jeudy. He's right up there with Jerry Jeudy in the elite route running realm. So he looks good right away. And, he's got good hands, and I know he's had some drop issues earlier on in his career and whatnot, but he's a good receiver. He's a Pro Bowl receiver. That's not the issue. He can play football. The issue is he's just got to be a good teammate. He's got to be coachable. He's got to have a great attitude. If he can do those kinds of things, then they will keep him around and he'll do well.
Mary Kay, give me another wide receiver. Just give me the fifth wide receiver. If let's say Deontay Johnson stays, and I'm going to, maybe you should give me the fourth too, because Jamari Thrash sounds like, I mean, I want to say Jamari Thrash is there, that he's in, but I'm just not 100% sure. So you tell me, is Jamari Thrash in? It sounds like he had a good mini camp. And then where do you look at the two back end wide receivers if you're keeping six, I guess?
Well, I do think that Jamari Thrash is in, and I think that Jamari had a really nice spring, and he was the beneficiary of said Tillman being a little injured and Mike Woods being a little injured. So I think Mike and Sed will be around. I think Deontay will be there. Obviously, Jerry and Jamari. And I think that's probably it.
Amari Cooper is still a free agent. Why do you think that is, Mary Kay? Is he waiting for the right opportunity, or is he not getting an opportunity?
I don't really know. I haven't really checked into what's going on there, but I don't foresee him showing back up here. I think that ship has sailed, and I just don't see that happening.
Okay. Hmm. How about the running back situation, and how do you think that plays out? I feel like Junkins is going to be the guy, but where does Jerome Ford fit into this thing? And Dylan Sampson, obviously, it sounds like he was pretty good, decent.
Yeah, he looks good. Dylan has looked really nice. So has Quinshon. And Quinshon is going to be the number one workhorse back. There's no question about that. You don't have to wonder about that. That's going to happen. And then Dylan, he's going to be the good change-up back and the third down receiving back out of the backfield and all those kinds of things. But I like the fact that Jerome Ford has basically, in this mini camp and in these OTAs, said, hey, don't forget about me. They've given him some nice reps. He's done a great job with them. He's got a lot of experience. I think this is bringing out the competitive side in him, and I think you'll see some good things from Jerome Ford.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. All of our coverage of the Browns available there, and it's been outstanding. Great job during minicamp. As soon as Joel Bitonio opened his mouth at the golf outing the other day, the word tough started coming out of his mouth, and we've been hearing that repeatedly from other members of the team, coaching staff. Why do you think, Mary Kay, What was it, a revelation? Hey, we weren't tough enough last year. We weren't physical enough. We didn't practice hard enough. What brought all that about?
Well, it's just one of the things that they looked at, and I think they felt that they just weren't battle tested enough, and they needed to be mentally tougher, physically tougher. They overhauled their health and performance staff, and that's going along with this new toughness mantra that they have this year. So that's kind of the buzzword, and it will carry on throughout the season. I think Bubba tried to bring it up last year. He did bring it up last year. And same thing with Mike Vrabel. He really worked hard to instill a toughness in these guys last year that they absolutely 100% needed. And we've seen it before from a Bill Callahan, and I think Mike Bloomgren, the new offensive line coach, will bring it as well. So it's something that was necessary, and I think it will translate to the field.
DeJuan Jones, just I thought he's another name that turned heads at minicamp because he looks like he's in great shape. Can you feel comfortable about DeJuan Jones and health-wise and just being able to be the guy I think that everyone wants him to be?
I think so. He's really looks the part. He's moving very, very well for his size. That was the first thing that stood out to me. When he has to move and pull and all those kinds of things, he's moving really well. He's in really, really good shape. And I think that as long as he can stay healthy, then I think he should be able to do a nice job at left tackle. But it's a projection. It's a bit of a projection. You never really know exactly how it's going to go. And he's been in and out of the lineup enough that he hasn't had that continuity of putting together a good, solid 16-game season, 17-game season, so that you can see what he's going to be all about. But the signs are there for him to be good.
Mary Kay, as always, you know we love talking to you. Thanks for the update. And I'm going to have to sit here and stand on my own island when I think that they're not keeping four quarterbacks. But you did make an excellent argument to keep them and how they can do that. And why not make it five when Deshaun Watson's ready to go? So you can have five guys on the roster. It'll be great. It'll
be awesome.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks. Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Make sure you're reading her every day. And, of course, she was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you really believe the Browns are going to keep? Let's face it. They may have to remodel the quarterback room for five quarterbacks then, right? Because Deshaun's here. He's just not playing.
You only need a chair.
Oh, that's all he gets is a chair. How about a stool?
They have guests in there.
Do you have a stool?
You have guests. You can. There's another chair already there.
Or do we have to use the ottoman?
And you have a
someone,
guest.
Someone's going to have back problems. Next thing you know, the NFLPA is going to be in. They're saying, why is he sitting on an ottoman and without a back? And then you got issues. There is just no way that an organization that's already they're not scared to trade quarterbacks. Let's not kid ourselves on that. Baker Mayfield got traded. DTR got traded. I'm not saying they had to be the best quarterback in the world. Josh Dobbs got traded. Case Keenum got traded. They're not scared to trade quarterbacks. And I just have a feeling that we're going to get a week before the season and someone's going to get traded. And it's probably because another organization is going to come to the Browns and say, here is a fifth round pick and we want to trade.
Be still my heart.
Well, I'm just saying that's where we've been before. And you know, as well as I do, Jeff, we could sit here and go, well, trade Kenny Pickett for a first round pick. Remember he was drafted in the first round. And then every time you think that that's going to happen, always turns out that the other GM is always like, yeah, we'll give you a fourth. It's a fifth.
I have a friend who tells a story.
Yes.
About buying a car. Brand new car, and his dad's in the car, and he drives off the lot, and his dad said, you hear that sound, son?
I said,
and
yes,
son
dad.
Said,
yes.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, dad. No.
What'd your dad say?
No, that was the son that said that to the father.
And?
He said, that's depreciation, dad.
Guess what?
Who was that wise man that said that?
Hey. Here's Dylan Gabriel. We know you guys all passed on him twice, some of you three times, but could you give us a high second round pick for him? Yeah, right. Hey, everybody, you passed on Shadur four times, some of you five, but you'll give us a third, won't you? Sure. Let me ask you this.
Okay. That person was, by the way,
me. You.
Yes, I know.
Yes.
Yes.
Dana, I want you in on this.
We're rolling that. It was my first floor explorer.
I want to know this. And Mary Kay just said it. Both of those rookies are going to be on the team.
Yeah, I believe that too.
I do too. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Why, and I agree with her, so let's leave them out of this. Why would the Browns trade Kenny Pickett? Why?
Because they think it's either Flacco or Pickett, so I'm not going to...
Well, hold on. Why would they trade Kenny Pickett?
Because they feel strong about Gabriel or Sanders being the starter somewhere down the road. They feel like they can start the season with Flacco. If he has success, then they won't mess with it. But once he doesn't have success, they feel comfortable knowing that they could put Gabriel or Sanders in the starting spot and not feel the same way they did when they put DTR in for Deshaun Watson against the Ravens.
Dana, why would they trade Pickett?
Because he's not the answer at quarterback in 2025 or 2026.
Okay.
Good answer. But why would they do it, Jeff?
They would trade Kenny Pickett for two reasons only.
Okay.
He looks like garbage in training camp and in the preseason. And okay, then you're not going to get anything for him, but that's okay. You didn't give up much to get him. Or, as Mary Kay said, you get to the trading deadline and you're convinced that he's not your guy, but he's played for you a little bit and he looks tolerable, and somebody else needs a quarterback. Somebody gets hurt,
and
they think Pickett. Those are the only two reasons they trade him.
There's a third reason. You get a team that is super desperate and they want him. That's what it is.
Yeah, but
I just can't imagine.
If he plays well for the Browns, they're not going to trade him.
If Flacco is playing just as well as Kenny Pickett,
you're assuming that they're both playing. I don't know that that's the case. So let me ask you this.
Okay, ask the next question.
Why would they trade Joe Flacco?
Because they definitely think that Kenny Pickett could be the starter and that they've got time to develop Gabriel and Sanders.
Agreed.
And they may already believe that Gabriel is developed enough to be the starting quarterback.
I truly think that Flacco is here for one reason and one reason only, and he is the fallback in case Pickett fails and in case one of the rookies isn't capable of being at least the backup at the beginning of the season, if not the starter. I'm not ruling out the idea that one of the rookies could end up winning this job.
I'm telling you, I think Joe Flacco is Kevin Stefanski's whoopee. Like, he is that comfortable blanket he knows he can put in the game that can help him move his offense down the field.
I thought that guy was named Jameis.
No, that's gone. Where have you been?
Well, Flacco is gone.
I just said that.
Flacco was gone. He was such a whoopee that they let him walk.
Yeah, but that wasn't because of him. That was because of the other guy in the room, Deshaun Watson.
Dana, why would they trade Flacco?
Because he's not the answer at quarterback in 2025 or 2026.
He's like AI over there. He's going to give you the same answer. He's going to say it exactly the same way.
That's the reason. Guys, this season is all about figuring out, do we have the quarterback on the roster or do we need a quarterback for the future?
Which is why I completely think that Flacco is nothing but an emergency quarterback here. And again, nothing against him. He was terrific here for five games. If he starts this year, it's like, oh my goodness. Okay,
it's not all my goodness if he starts. I think fans would be happy, and I think they can win games.
Well,
with Flacco.
I think it is only because Andy they're trying to be better at that position than Joe. And if one of the young guys doesn't show that he can be that, I think it's a major disappointment for the team.
Can any of these four guys get us to three touchdowns in one game? That's my question.
That's a good question. They'll find out the answer.
I asked this question, and I may ask it 100 times more. If you're Kevin Stefanski, and they told you this first game of the season was this Sunday, who are you handing the ball to today?
The game's not today.
That's not my question. My question is, if you were Kevin Stefanski and you had to hand the ball to one of these guys today for a start on Sunday, who would you give it to?
Kenny Pickett.
To win.
Kenny Pickett.
Joe Flacco.
The day that Kevin Stefanski takes a team out on the field not to win is the day that I'm scared.
Did you not see late in the season when Jameis got benched?
He'll never say it out loud, and he shouldn't. And frankly, he shouldn't believe it either. But let's be 100% honest with ourselves. Is the goal to win games, or is the goal to figure out who the quarterback is for 2025 and 2026?
If you figure that out, you may win games.
Correct. But that's the thing. If my job, if my goal is to win games, it's Joe Flacco. If my goal is to win games down the road, it's a different conversation.
Can I just irritate you, Andy?
Sure. You're good at this. Go.
Thanks. Much smaller sample size. Which quarterback has a better career winning percentage? Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett?
Probably Kenny Pickett.
That's probably correct.
Well, I mean, he pulled a couple of wins.
Does he have like seven? How many starts does he have?
It's 60% to slightly over 50 for Joe.
And how many starts does Kenny have?
25.
And how many does Joe have?
Many more.
And how many rings does Kenny have?
One.
How many defenses?
Oh, yeah, he does have a ring for last year. That sucks.
How many Super Bowl defenses did they both play with?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they yeah.
Stick that in your pipe.
Can I smoke it? Now, this isn't designed to make you mad.
Okay.
But I truly.
God, that Kenny has a Super Bowl ring thing sucks, man. I totally screwed that up. Yeah.
The best part of it, Dan was right there. Yeah,
One.
That was great. This isn't designed.
How many Super Bowl starts does Kenny Pickett have? How's that sound?
This isn't designed to make you mad, but it will. Explain to me. Joe Flacco since leaving Baltimore.
Bad offensive coordinators, bad offensive lines.
Nobody wants to talk about that. He has had one good run since he left Baltimore.
Jeff,
it was five games.
And Jeff, the most optimistic run that we've seen since 99. It is. To watch that at the end of the season, to understand what it meant in the locker room, to understand what it meant to the fans. I mean, seriously, does anyone even care or think about, well, I guess maybe you do a little bit, but to care about Joe Flacco ever playing for the Ravens, when he was on that run here, no one cared about it then. Not when he was hot. And the only time you really just want to put your head through the TV is when he was throwing all those pick sixes in the playoffs.
In games started since he's left Baltimore. And this isn't to shoot down Joe. It's just a fact. His record as a starter, according to footballreference.com, is 9-19. And he just
play defense too.
He
Jeff.
Just doesn't instill me with the confidence that
for the same reason he said they won the Super Bowl.
Here's your big time guy.
He doesn't want to hear the other side of it.
I just don't think here's your big time quarterback. I don't. And I know he's still got a great arm. But I don't think that Joe Flacco is the answer to the question, this is your guy. Who is it? I just don't think that's the answer.
I thoroughly enjoy watching Carpe Diem football. It's a lot of fun to watch Carpe Diem football because I refuse to use the acronym of You Only Live Once because it makes my skin boil. I loved watching Joe Flacco just fling it and not care. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh, it was
greatly.
A blast.
I loved watching Jameis fling it.
And
not
he was
care.
Good.
It was a blast.
Jameis was good in the same situation.
A lot of fun.
Didn't win as many games.
Does it lead to wins in the regular season, or do we even want those wins to take place in the regular season? Maybe. Yeah, it's a nice ride, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't do anything for my future to have Joe Flacco just flinging 50-yard passes and hoping for the best.
I just, in New York, he was 1-8. Indy last year, 2-4. Denver, 2-6. And with the Browns, he was good, 4-1. You know, this was his best spot since he's left Baltimore. And he left Baltimore after the 2018 season. And if Joe ends up as the starter, and could he play competent football? Absolutely. But that's why I say if Joe ends up as the starter, it's a failure on the part of the other guys to not beat him out.
I just don't know. Or it's Kevin feeling more comfortable with him as a starting quarterback.
I give you slight pushback on that, too, because it may also be like I come from the idea of letting guys sit. I like having my quarterback sit for a little bit and see how fast the game is and to understand. So, like, if Joe
Pickett
Flacco,
in particular, if Pickett can't beat him out, then you should move on from Pickett.
Right. If Joe Flacco starts the season, I'm not going to be like grumpy about the whole thing because I could see what
you're not
thinking.
A grumpy guy by nature.
But like if we get to like week 10, 12, and it's in the dumpster and you're looking around going, okay, why aren't the kids in here yet? that's when you'll start having problems.
All right, let's come back. We are going to talk to Dwayne Kuiper because we're going to argue about this till we're blue in the face every day.
You get blue in the face a lot.
I'm blue. I feel that. What was that song?
I'm just naturally red.
Smell that?
I'm blue.
Smells like fruit lunch.
Let's come back. Bring in quarterbacks,
baby.
One of the.
Here we go.
Could you say he's a prolific
Rick Salen with home run hitter? Here we come.
In Indians history?
No, and what he is a prolific play-by-play man for the San Francisco Giants.
But he was like one of my favorite players as a kid growing up, too.
Terrific.
I mean, Manning and Kuiper made me a fan. We didn't have to win a lot of games, but they did. Dwayne Kuiper, voice of the Giants. Next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's a great moment in Baskin and Phelps history.
Be careful now, please.
All right, let me see if I can get it right. Dwayne, I cannot believe I got so excited to talk to you. I hung up on you.
Hung up on you.
I suck. I'm sorry.
You know what? Andy, I'm not buying it. But anyway, it was, I mean, you were rocking along and I was enjoying the great introduction. And then all of a sudden I fell off a cliff.
Click.
Hey, do you,
you know what? You know what I liked? What'd you know like? What I liked about that was listening to Joe Tate's voice.
Yes.
I mean, look, all the years that I was in Cleveland, Joe did a lot of our game. I mean, he started out, when I started out, he was on radio with Herb. And then eventually he ended up on TV with a number of different people, including Bruce Drennan.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I love Joe for baseball. I mean, Joe was terrific in everything he did. But I've yet really to find anybody that compares to what Joe did in basketball. He was just absolutely fabulous. And since I've been out in the Bay Area, I mean, there's been a number of great, great broadcasters. But I definitely have a huge soft spot for Joe and his history and what he did. So anyway, it was just great to hear his voice.
You get butterflies when you hear that a little bit? Make you feel young, at least?
You know what? You know, look, I play it so much when I get in my car. I'm so used to it that I mean, it is nice to hear. And on the anniversary, you know, my brother has produced our TV games since 1987. So, you know, he's definitely got a soft spot for that home run. So, I mean, I see it. It's played all the time. I hear it. I watch it. And, it's great. I mean, it just brings back some great memories of you know, the decade of the '70s for me, baseball wise, was the happiest I ever was as a player. I mean, by the time I got to San Francisco, you know, I was banged up and limping around a leg, but the years that I played in Cleveland, you know, those were the top years of my life. Is a baseball player.
Dwayne, with the one career home run, could you play in the major leagues today, or would they be looking to replace you despite the incredible glove and the good bat skills?
You know, there was a time, guys, where, you know, that spot was more so about power than it was about how defensive skills that you had. But it's starting to switch just a little bit, and I think we're seeing a little bit more of both, where defense is important, and the fact if you can hit the ball out of the park is always going to be great. But we're seeing more and more teams now that really value some of the little things that a middle infielder can do. Now, they do like the home run. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think the value of the little things are starting to come back a little bit more. I mean, a lot of it has to do with analytics, and there are a lot of teams that were all power driven analytically, and that's starting to change a little bit, including changing a lot here when Buster Posey came in. So I know it's a long-winded answer to your question, but I do think the type of player that I was, I think now, again, could play at this level and be an everyday player.
Dwayne, check me on the stats, but I think that the Giants have only been here three times, have been back to Cleveland, or have been in Cleveland since interleague play. Is that probably as many trips as you've made to Cleveland since you played here? It's probably been a while.
No, you know what? I've made a couple of trips in a car when we've been in Pittsburgh.
Ah, gotcha.
I've got a family here that I was best friends with for the entire time I was here. It was the Sobracco family, and the kids, when I became involved in their family, were only 2 or 3 years old, and of course now they've got kids of their own. And so anyway, I go back there to see John and Michelle Sobracco when I can, and it's always a joy. It really is. I mean, I drive by my old condo, I drive by the house that you know I was a newlyweds in, and it really warms my heart. I mean, look, I didn't want to go when I got traded. I found out a way to how to flunk my physical in San Francisco because I figured if I could do that, then, you know, the trade would be off. And I flunked it. And I'll never forget the words I heard Tom Haller, the GM of the Giants. He's on the phone with the doctor. And the only thing I heard him say is, well, we'll take him anyway. And I was like, oh, damn, what do you mean you're going to take me anyway? So, I mean, look, I end up there in 1982, and it's been wonderful for me. As much as what I do here is what I wanted to do in Cleveland, I mean, you're only, you know, you're only given an opportunity maybe once, lucky twice, and they gave me an opportunity here to broadcast, so I took it, and it's been wonderful.
And you've been there ever since, and you're one of the great play-by-play guys and announcers in baseball. It's kind of cool how that worked out, Dwayne, because here you don't want to go there. You know, your career was mainly in Cleveland, and this happens. Is it difficult making that transition? Because, you know, a lot of former players will be color analysts. You do play-by-play.
Right. Well, I started out as a color analyst, and then, you know, I was really fortunate that the Giants started their own little cable company in 1986. And they didn't have many viewers. So, you know, and I started out and I did color for a couple of years. And then my boss at that time, his name is Corey Bush. He said, when we come back next year, you're going to do play-by-play. And I said, I don't want to do play-by-play. I'm really comfortable with what I do. I didn't really want to step outside of what I was comfortable with. And he said, no, you're going to do it. Well, you know, it turned out to be the best thing because if you don't have a lot of people watching, if you're new at it, you're not going to get criticized. And I slowly just kind of got comfortable with it. And then, you know, the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it more than doing color. And then I had a great partner in Joe Morgan. And then when Joe decided to put all his effort into ESPN, then Mike Kruko stepped in, and Mike and I have been partners now since, you know, 1990. And it's been great. I mean, we're such a married couple now that I'm telling you, for the older audience, if we participated in the newlywed game, we would win.
That's great.
I know I do want to get to the series, but it is interesting that some of the guys that you played with in Cleveland ended up doing television. I mean, obviously Rick hasn't left. I don't know if you've noticed that. Rick's still here, in case you were wondering. there's so many names on, like Ray Fosse, and I was trying to think. So there were a couple guys.
Let me help you out.
Sure.
So my first year in pro ball was 1972 in Reno, and on that Reno roster were four broadcasters that. Three are still broadcasting. One just stopped a couple of years ago. It was myself, Manning, Dennis Eckersley, and Larry Anderson is still doing games for the Phillies. So when you think about that, you got four major league broadcasters on one minor league team in 1972, and three of those four are still doing it, and Eck could still do it if he wanted to. You know, he just got tired of it. So, yeah, I mean, not only was Phil Segge and the Indians, you know, promoting and you know, graduating ball players, but they also didn't even realize that they were drafting and coming up with broadcasters.
Yeah, it was very cool.
That's cool.
Bill Melton was another guy too. Didn't Torborg do games too for a while? I thought that
Torborg Torborg did it. You know, Bill Melton did it in Chicago. You know, for a long time, and I've always said that you're almost a better broadcaster if you play on teams that weren't always great, because you learned everything about what it was like to lose, and then the wins were so enjoyable, and you always end up with great stories on teams that had such colorful characters, and we had a lot of colorful characters.
Dwayne Kuiper joining us. He is the play-by-play voice of the San Francisco Giants and, of course, former Indian second baseman. The Giants, despite being in the division with the Dodgers, are competitive, 2.5 games back, Dwayne. And you know, I would think any team in the division with the Dodgers is thinking it's an uphill battle. Do you think players feel that way in this day and age? Are they looking at salaries or what?
Well, I think they look at talent. I mean, we just came from L.A., and, you know, 3 days ago, they're tied with the Dodgers. They had the same record. And when you look at the Dodgers and you start doing their lineup and you see their first three guys with Ohtani and Betts and Freeman and then Smith and then Teoscar Hernandez, I mean, down the line, it's a threat. It's a threat all the way to the end. So what you really have to do is you can't outbang them. You got to outpitch them. And if you look at the overall stats, the Dodgers have probably scored 80, maybe 90 more runs than the Giants. But the Giants have a full one-run lead in the ERA department. So there you go. Pitching in against hitting. I mean, the Dodgers have some really terrific guys coming back. From Glasnow to Snell, you know, these guys, Ohtani pitched last night. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be on top till the very end, and you just have to try to stay as close as you can and try to get in if you can. If you can't overtake them for the division lead, then you got to get in as a wild card. And the Giants have, you know, won a world championship as a wild card team, and wild card teams now win world championships all the time. So you just got to get in and hope that you're hot and you know, just, you know, go on from there. The fact that they made this big trade on Sunday, you know, that's definitely going to help them.
I was just going to ask you about Rafael Devers coming to the Giants. Young players still, didn't want to move over to first base, whatever, has the huge contract. What do you think he's going to do with the Giants? Where is he going to play, and how is he going to fit in? Because if you can pick up a guy like that, it makes you even more competitive in a team when you're trying to chase the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, I think, guys, what you have to do with him is, you know, the history of what was going on with him in Boston. So I think the first thing you have to do, and Buster's really good at it, is you have to be 100% honest with him. And you have to tell him what you want from him, and then you have to find out from him if he's willing to do that. And they're going to have that conversation today, or maybe they've already had it. You know, and plus I hear this, well, he hasn't had a glove on it. Well, I said, stop it. He's probably been taking ground balls every day somewhere. So he could slide in and play defense soon. Now, if he's willing to do that, then that's great. If not, well, then he's going to DH. But, I mean, I have this sneaky feeling that he's going to want to come in and make a great impression. And the fact that the Giants are going to eventually ask him to play first, I think that he would do that. I'm hoping that he would do that. If not, they'll work around that and just, you know, slot him in as a DH and hit him second, third, or fourth. And, you know, the contract's not that bad. I mean, he's the same age as Guerrero. And Guerrero is making a lot more money than what Devers is. So I think it was a win-win. I hope the deal works out for the Red Sox, too, because all those guys that went over there are good people, especially the young kid, Kyle Harrison. So we'll see how it works out. But I am anxious to get to the park tonight to see what Devers looks like in a Giants uniform.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, too. Dwayne, next year the Giants are here, so I am already going to start talking about a Manning Kuiper bobblehead for when you make the trip in next year. Yes. How's that sound?
You know what? I'm looking forward to seeing Rick tonight. And Tom Hamilton doesn't always make the trip to the West Coast, so I don't know if he's going to be here, but I definitely look forward to him. I mean,
it's that Wisconsin
he beat me
blood
out last year.
Yep.
Yeah, for the Ford Frick, you know, and I'm really ticked off about it. I am. I've got half an attitude towards him. But anyway, look, I'm a Ford Frick loser four times, so in a lot of ways, I feel like Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills.
Dwayne, let's get you a win next year. How's that sound?
You know what? It's not going to change my life one way or the other, but I'm looking forward to seeing the group. I wish there were more people around the team currently that were there when I was there. I know Mike Seggie is retired. I always look forward to seeing him. But even though it says Guardians on the front, I'll still always see Indians.
You're not alone, Dwayne. You're not alone.
Yes, sir.
Hey, have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll see you next year when you come into town. Thanks. Don't beat up the Guardians too bad this weekend.
Thank you, Dwayne. Appreciate your time.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Take care.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.